Chapter 29. She was driving the Saab through the narrow downtown of Paradise. He sat beside her in the front seat with a Canon digital camera, which was small enough to sit comfortably on the palm of his hand. "Her," she said. He photographed a copper-haired woman pushing a stroller. "We doing a woman next?" he said. "Even it up," she said. "We've two men and a woman." He sang, "A boy for you and a girl for me." She joined him. "Can't you see how happy we will be?" They both laughed. "How about that good-looking black woman?" he said. "Certainly," she said. "We're not racists." Again they laughed together. He snapped a picture of the black woman. "Don't see many black people in Paradise," he said. She giggled. "If we decide on her, you'll see one less," she said. He nodded, his eyes scanning the sidewalks. "I want this one to be a knockout," he said. "Your choice," she said. He photographed a tall woman in a lavender warm-up suit. "This is fun," he said. She turned the car right onto a street leading to the waterfront. "I suppose it shouldn't be fun," she said. "You mean other people would think it was awful?" "Yes." He put the camera on his lap and leaned back against the seat. "When I was in college," he said, "we had to read something in English class by some old-time guy called The Venerable Bed. I don't remember it much, but I always remember one scene. There's this big banquet hall, and it's brightly lit, and there's a big warm fire. Outside, it's cold and dark, but inside, everybody's eating and drinking and having a hell of a time. A sparrow flies into one end of the hall and out of the cold darkness and flies through the bright warm hall and out the other end into the cold darkness again." She glanced at him as he drove. He loved to pontificate. "So," she said, "so human life is like the flight of the sparrow, or maybe it was a swallow, I can't remember, but the point's the same." She pulled into the little parking lot by the town landing and parked in front of the restaurant. "We're only here for a little while," she said, "and we have the right to make the most of it." "Some people collect postage stamps," he said. "We like to kill people." "Is it really the same?" she said. "After we've done it and we're making love and the sex is like nothing else either one of us has ever known, the feeling, wouldn't you kill for that?" She breathed in deeply for a moment and reached over and put her hand on the inside of his thigh. "Yes," she said. "Me too," he said. They sat silently for a while, watching the people. A dark-haired woman in a tailored suit came out of the Gray Gull. She was carrying a briefcase and talking on a cell phone. He raised his camera and aimed. "Her," he said.